Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
I'm still not sure what I've walked into. Dr. Seuss, VBS, I don't know about y'all, but Spring Hill, we preach the Bible. And so I've been a little focused on that. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm just glad y'all did not do Cat in the Hat. I do not have weird hats, and I do not like cats. So that would have been really tough on me had y'all chosen that book to do everything from. But I am glad to be here. Today, as we start thinking about something, I want to tell you something we will probably all agree on. And you may not. That may be something that you're like, I'm not sure if I agree on that or not. But food is good. We have 100% agreement on that one, that food is good. Are we good with that tonight? Can we do that? See, I thank you. There's one. I love, and I know that may shock you, I enjoy food. And the thing is, when I say I enjoy food, there's things I like about it. One, I like coming to your house to eat. Why? Because that means you cooked it. That means I didn't have to cook it. I didn't have to clean up for it. I didn't have to do anything. What's great about being a single guy is all they expect from me is a bag of ice and a 2-liter. That's the extent of what I have to take to somebody's house to eat. They're not calling me and asking me to bring a casserole or green beans or anything. It's, you know, can you stop by and get a bag of ice? Yeah, I got $3. I got it. We're good. But I'll tell you, it's interesting. I also like, besides going to somebody's house, I love going to restaurants. I eat out quite a bit. Why? Because I know if I go to a restaurant, I don't have to shop. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean up. And I don't have to do that again. And I can sit there and whatever is done, if I don't like it, I can complain and they may give it to me again. I enjoy eating at restaurants. I've eaten there today, twice. It's okay. I enjoy going there. In Memphis, it was interesting. There's a place there called the Butcher Shop. There's two of them. There's actually one downtown, one that's out toward Cordova. The one downtown is about to shut down. That sort of scares me a little bit. I've gone down there. And what blew me away is you would go down there and spend probably $30 to $50 to eat there. But they would bring around this plate full of steaks and you chose the one you wanted. They say, do you want ribeyes or tenderloin, whatever you want? Do you want a filet? And they would bring it out and you say, I want that one. And they would give you an option. They had a huge grill there to go cook it yourself. And they said, we will charge you $2 less if you would like to cook it yourself. And I would always say, if I wanted to cook it myself, I'd stayed home. I came here so that you would cook it for me. That's why I came. Because I know for $2, if I mess it up, it's on me. If you mess it up, I'll get another one. When I go there, I know that I'm going there to be served in a way. A lot of my friends like going to Genghis Grill. I'm not a big fan of Genghis Grill. You know why? Because you have to cook it yourself. Again, if I wanted to cook it, I'd have stayed home. Now, it is fun to go with guys because the goal is to see how much meat you can put in one bowl and the fewest amount of vegetables and then get away with it because it's one price. But outside of that, you have to cook it. You have to do that. And when I go to a restaurant, part of why I go there is so that I just get to go enjoy being there. See, that's one thing to do at a restaurant. It's another thing to do at church. Do I come here to serve, or do I come here to be served? I feel like for a lot of people come to be served. And you can hear it in the way they complain, the same way I would complain about a steak that's not cooked the way I want it. Well, I didn't like what the preacher did this morning. I didn't like how the song leader sang. I didn't like what this happened or this happened. And we sometimes turn ourselves into consumers instead of people who have the job of actively participating in the work of the church. This week I do think it's interesting that you are looking at, oh, the places you will serve. And tonight we want to talk about what it means to serve God by serving in His church. I'm thankful that you're here tonight. I hope that tonight's lesson will be a blessing to you. And I hope that you realize that the church itself started with serving. If you'll open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, that's where we're going to begin. Acts chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 37. What they have heard is a sermon here. They have been told that the Messiah has come, that the Messiah they've been looking for has come to earth, and that they have murdered Him. They have just been told all this. And during the middle of the sermon, the people interrupt the preacher. And they don't interrupt Him to go to the restroom. They don't interrupt Him to say, I need a break for a second. They interrupt Him because they are so distraught over what they had just realized. Verse 37 says, Now they were cut, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells them what to do. Then he makes an incredible statement where he said, For this promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to Himself. In many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourself from this crooked generation. Can I tell you the scriptural evidence for preaching a long time right here? He says, what? With many other words, he kept on preaching. If you read the Bible, it tells you prayers are short, sermons are long. And I'm okay with that. Why? Because I preach. I enjoy that. He keeps exhorting them. Verse 41 says, So those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Awesome. Church goes from 0 to 3,000 in one day. Now what are they going to do? What is it they are going to do now that they are the church? We see that. What are we going to learn from them? See, some special circumstances here. There's people here from all over that have come to Jerusalem. And while they are there, they have become Christians. So the question will be, will they go home or will they still stay there? Many of them are going to stay there. If you take a trip, you realize you're probably only going to take a certain amount of money. Enough to get you by for how long you expect to be gone. And there were people who were staying there much longer than they needed to. Now let's continue reading. And let's look at what happened at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings. And they also were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. They served each other. The church began with, as they became Christians, they looked around at the other Christians and said, okay, what can we do for each other? What is it that needs to be done? And they started seeing people needed food, they may have needed a place to stay, they may have needed money, whatever it was, they took care of one another. What's the result of that? The result, you'll find, is in the next verse. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now the people were added not only because the gospel was being preached, but also people saw how Christians were acting toward one another. That made it appealing to them. Because if there were a message and they did not see this community, and this community is growing, this community is caring for one another, they see all this love, the church wouldn't have grown the way it did. People saw something there. And I think they can see something here. When people see a church that genuinely loves each other, I believe many times they will come and they will say, How do I become a part of this church? What is it that's going on here? I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of a church who shows love for one another. Paul tells us to love and serve one another. The church began with serving. We must also continue in serving. Secondly, we have to realize that the church has needs. If you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, and let's look at that just for a moment. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word to serve the tables." What's going on? You have all these Christians, and you have widows who have nobody to take care of them. And these widowed Christians were being overlooked. They weren't getting what they needed. And the people said, "You know what? It's not right that they're being overlooked. We need to take care of it." The apostle says it's not right for us to quit preaching to go take care of them. We need somebody to do what? Step up and do this job so we can keep teaching and preaching God's Word. So what happens, it says verse 3, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry, and what they said pleased the whole gathering." I laugh at verse 5. I don't know if I've ever finished somewhere, and when I finish talking, it pleased the whole gathering. Except when I say the closing amen, people are usually pleased with that. But I sit there and look at this, and what you see is he said, "All right, you pick people. We're going to keep preaching and praying. You pick people to do this job." And that's what they did. The Bible goes through this list of men that were chosen, and we realize how powerful and how much in the Spirit and how much these people walked. And you saw the fruit of the Spirit in their life. They lived with God, for God, to the point one of them gave his life for God very shortly after that, Stephen. But what happened when the apostles continued teaching and praying and other people chose to start taking care of the widows? Verse 7, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests became obedient to the faith." What happened when other people got involved in taking care of the needs in the church and the gospel was still able to be preached? The church multiplied. It didn't just grow. The church multiplied. What is it this church needs? What is it the church here at Graymere needs? I think the church at Graymere needs pretty much what the rest of us need. And as I think about that, a church needs people who are willing to serve the church by being elders and deacons. I think that's one of the greatest needs is for solid leadership of elders in churches. Men who love God, men who love God's Word, and men who love people. Legitimately love people, save people, lost people. And we have a need for men to step up and to fill this role. We also have a need for men to step up to be servants. I have a friend of mine who was a youth minister for a while. One week in the bulletin, he was in charge of the bulletin for about 1 week. Okay, that happens sometimes. And he changed the word deacons to servants, and the deacons had a fit over it. He goes, "That's what you are." And they said, "Well, let the secretary do the bulletin from now on," which was what he was okay with anyway. I would have been too. But we need men who care that all the glory goes to God and that serve. We need people who will volunteer to open up God's Word and teach people through Bible classes, through one-on-one settings, through all these different things, having small group Bible studies, all these things. We need people who say, "You know what? I'm going to devote myself to teaching other people." We need people who will step up and do that. I have a lot of pictures on this next slide. We need people who will teach children the Bible. People who will, without a doubt, love and care for. I will tell you, the most busy people at our congregation are the people who teach our children's Bible classes. I'm at the building during the week, and they're there more than I am. I'm not ashamed of that. They are there redecorating rooms. They're there laminating things, doing all these things to teach what? Children, so that children can know God better. Not only do you need people who can teach, you need people who can be bouncers in those classes. Our vacation Bible school a couple weeks ago, we had little kid classes with 24 kids in them. In a space about the size of this table. Okay? It was small and they were stuck together. You know what you had to have? Crowd control. 24 of anything can destroy you. 24 three-year-olds are vicious. They can be. You love them and care for them, but you need people who say, you know what, I'm not real confident about speaking, but I can sit next to this child and make sure they're comfortable. I can help this child and help them through the craft that they're doing. We need people in churches here and there who are willing to say, you know what, I'm going to be a prayer warrior for this church. I'm going to go to God every day on behalf of this church and help them. We need people who are willing to set up tables and take down tables. We need people who are willing to take up the trash and bag that up and serve that way. At Spring Hill, we have Clyde Farmer. If you know Clyde, I could go off on Clyde for a while. I love him. But he is so adamant with the trash bag, you might not even be through with your food yet, and he's already thrown it away. Because he wants to make sure everything's cleaned up. Every week we have a discussion because he wants to show me all the Cheerios and all the goldfish that are left in the pews. He goes, what do you think about this? I go, I think it's awesome because that means kids are here. And he'll be like, oh. But you know what? He's willing to clean every week. Every week he's willing to do that. We need people who are willing to write cards and show encouragement to others. People who are willing to put your arm around somebody, write them a card, tell them you're thinking about them. We need people who are willing to take food to one another. Spring Hill's in a situation where people aren't related to many people there. So many people have moved here from somewhere else. So many times churches are family churches, especially in the South. You look and a church is made up of one or two families and they do a pretty good job taking care of each other. We don't have a lot of people related to each other, so if somebody needs help with food or whatever else, it has to be somebody else at church who says, you know what, I'm going to step up. We recently had a family that lost a man, and a very good man, very unexpectedly. And the next Sunday, I see these ladies show up with coolers that look like the size of a back end of a truck. And I said, what's going on? They said, well, there's three families involved. They fix meals that would last each of these families a long time. I know people do that here, and I love that you don't have to have a program to do it. You say, you know what, I see somebody who needs this done, and I'm going to be willing to step up and do that. We need people who are willing, when they're here, to shake people's hands and make everybody who comes in the door feel important. Y'all have had Lonnie Jones speak here before. Lonnie's one of my favorites, a great friend of mine. He tells you everybody needs three things at church: attention, belonging, and support. They need somebody to look at them in the eye and say, you're important to me. Do you know you can do that here? We need people who are willing to visit hospitals, not just the preacher or the associate minister, but a person that's willing to go by and visit nursing homes and hospitals. See, I believe as we do those things, we make a difference. I love this. Success begins by asking, how can I help you? And you take what you do well and what the church needs. And when you find that, you start doing it. Whatever it is. Success in church begins by saying, all right, what is it I can do? What is it the church needs? And let's put those things together. Y'all see that this week. When you look behind you, you realize there was a lot of work that went into this. When you read through the different qualifications of leadership and servants in the Bible, you probably don't see artist and carpenter. But you see it took that, and those people were able to use those gifts this week to make your vacation Bible school better. There were people who prayed for this vacation Bible school. An eldership and people stepped out in faith and said, you know what, if we do this, I believe we can touch the lives of a lot of people. We have people who here volunteered to organize and put all this together. You have people here who decided to delegate responsibility so people do certain different works. You have people here who help with registration every night. You have people who have art ability. You have people who have that construction ability. You have people who are willing to teach. You have people, again, who are willing to bounce and take care of children. You have people that are willing to take care of all the refreshments. You have people who are willing to advertise so that people know what's going on. People who are taking pictures so that people can see what's going on here. You look at all the different work, the people who are willing to clean up here, and the people who are willing to do whatever that just says, you know what, give me something to do and I will do it. Or they look around and see it and they do that. It's amazing what can happen when God's people come and see needs and work together. What can be accomplished. And what's the result? The church grows. There are reasons why people are not involved in church. There's a reason why some choose not to be involved. One reason people choose not to, sometimes they feel useless. They feel that whatever their skills are, don't translate into anything that the church needs. Can I tell you that's not true? I will promise you there's something you can do to benefit this church. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11 says this, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well and serve who? One another. Do it with all strength and the energy God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. So beautiful and powerful. He says, whatever gift God has given you, you use it for one another and you give glory back to Him and it will make an impact. There are some who choose not to serve because they are hurting and they don't know what to do. They feel like they're just treading water to be here. Can I tell you one of the best things you can do to work through your hurt is to serve somebody else? It's amazing how much good can be done if you choose to serve somebody else. Now, I'm about to tell you something that I have never done because I want to keep my job for a while. But there was a preacher for years, a guy by the name of Johnny Ramsey. He preached out in Texas. And Johnny was a scriptural phenomenon. He would quote, last time I heard him, he quoted 124 scriptures, book, chapter, and verse in one sermon. He preached like a Strong's Concordance, but did it well. He would say, God is a God of comfort. And he'd start running these verses and he would tie it all together. But he would tell you, I'm not exactly a people person. I love to study the Bible, and I love to study the Bible with people. I love to baptize people. I love to teach people. People would ask him to do weddings. He'd go, nope. He goes, I'm a preacher man, not a Mary and Sam. Find somebody who wants to do that. That was just not what he wanted to do. Well, he had a lady that called him one day. And it was a regular call. She would call him and she'd talk about how pitiful her life was and how bad things were going. And she'd go on and on and on. And he finally said, lady, do you know somebody in worse shape than you are? She said, well, yeah. So we'll bake him a cake, take it to him, and leave me alone. Well, she hung up on him. I can't believe she hung up on him, right? She said, when I hung up on you, my intent was to drive up there and tell you what I thought about you, but I made a cake out of pure spite. And I took it to this lady who was in worse shape than I was, and it was the best thing I ever did. Because I saw I had a purpose, and my ability to cook could be used inside the church. And my ability to visit was more appreciated than I ever would have thought. Sometimes through our hurt, if we can find a way to serve somebody else, it's amazing what impact it can have on us. And some people don't serve really because they're lazy. They can, but they simply won't. One writer said, let's be honest. Some people simply don't want to serve. They want others to do all the work while they enjoy the benefits. People would rather be an object of the church's ministry than a partner in it. That's a pretty condemning statement. Too many church members maintain this me first attitude. Charles Spurgeon said every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. He said a lot of stuff that was really good. All of us have to realize that part of being a Christian is being selfless. and finding ways to serve other people. We have to realize that we've been called to come together. When we read Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and we look at the verses there about attendance, I find it interesting that we think attendance is all that's commanded there. It says, do not forsake the assembly as the habit of some is. But you come together to do what? Encourage one another in love and good works. To me, you can come in the doors every time and still neglect what you've been called to do. You've been called to do more than just show up. You've been called to show up and encourage one another with love and good works. Thirdly, let's go to Acts chapter 9. Let's look at one more thing tonight. You need to know that what you do to serve other people makes a difference. And it will stay with them. Beginning in verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. And she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples hearing that Peter was there sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. It's a very beautiful picture, is it not? It's sad, but what you see is that she took care of a group of people, meantime the widows, who were overlooked. And they showed up with the things in their hands that had been made for them. She had served them and they had remembered and they wept and they cried because of the difference she had made. Verse 40 says this, but Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. What was the result of that? Very powerful if you keep reading, verse 42. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Do you see a connection between service to one another? People hearing about that service and the church growing. Now, we're not to be all internally focused, but we must take care of one another. We are a family. We're not to neglect one another. We're to take care of one another. And it's amazing what type of difference that we can make in the lives of one another if we choose to be people of service. This is a golden oldie. This is my family's church directory pick, circa 1979. Okay, my mom and dad. If you want to know why I'm a preacher today, it's because my mom and dad were deeply involved in the work of the church and serving other people. My dad prayed that I'd become a preacher every day. He sent me a letter telling me that when I was about 19 or 20. He said, I didn't tell you growing up. I wanted to let you choose what you did, and whatever you did, I was going to be fine with. But I wanted you to have a fire in your bones to preach. My dad worked on our little church building. We went to a little two different churches around Parsons, Tennessee, the Central Church of Christ, Decaturville, and Parsons Church of Christ. My dad always did maintenance there, whatever was needed. He always led singing. We picked up people for everything. My dad was the joy bus driver. We go into there's a bad part of town. We would drive through it and pick up kids for church, and then we would come and he'd teach that class. My mom had people over to our house to eat about every other weekend. Every time a preacher came to town, guess what? They came to our house. She took care of people right and left. And because I saw that, I think that played a part in me choosing to preach. One of the preachers that made the biggest impact on me is a man by the name of Fred House. This is he and his wife, Joy. Fred preached at the Parsons Church of Christ, and he had a group of young men who would get together and he would work with on preaching. He said, I'd like you to come over and join us. And I did. And so once a week we had preaching practice. When I was 12 years old, 12 to about 15, once a week on Tuesday afternoons, just like you'd have baseball practice, we had preaching practice. He'd walk through the auditorium and scream and yell and throw stuff to try to distract me. People ask me at Spring Hill, how do you preach through all the babies screaming? I go, that's not a grown man screaming. That was worse. This man took me fishing. He took me hunting. He took me to visit sick people. His wife was always doing good. They made an impact on me through their service. I think about the Bible class teachers I had through my life. Back in the days of flannel boards and the old little film strip thing that had the record player on top and the TV underneath, and they would flip through and do what? Teach me the Bible. I remember a man who hadn't been a Christian long. His name was Johnny Woods. And he got nominated to teach the teenage class, which was me and my cousin. My cousin and I. Sorry, I went country for a minute. Y'all okay with that? I reverted. He hadn't been a Christian maybe a year. But he studied every week to teach us and share with us. That service makes a difference. I was a part of a... In West Kentucky, we did work camp. Our congregation did work camp. We painted houses. We'd paint 4 or 5 houses 1 week every summer. And our congregation was sort of the main sponsor of it. And we had the most adult volunteers from our churches and our congregation. We had a couple by the name of Henry and Roberta Davis. They were in their 80s leading a group, scraping and painting a house with 15 teenagers. See, they impacted generation after generation after generation. That service goes so much further than you can imagine in the impact that it has. In the spring of 1996, when I was at Freed Hardeman, I had 2 of my grandparents die within a month of each other. It was not easy. It was one of the most difficult things I had ever gone through and ever could have thought about going through. And during that semester, I received about somewhere between 300 and 400 cards from the students and teachers there. I still have them. They're in my office right now in a box. I haven't forgotten the service that was done for me. When I got the call my granddad had died, I was getting ready to go do laundry. I've told this a lot of different times, and my laundry basket at Free was a 32-gallon trash can with wheels. It held exactly 3 loads of clothes. Everybody else would be lugging their laundry down the hall. I'd kick mine out and just walk it, wheel it right down there. The first week everybody made fun of me. By the end of school, I heard them wheeling all down from all directions. They figured I might have had some sense about this. And it was full of clothes, and I got the call. My granddad died. I needed to leave, so I went and packed with little things I had, took my one suit, and left school. And when I came back 3 days later to my room, all my clothes had been washed by my roommate and my suite mates. Can I tell you, it takes a special kind of love to wash another man's drawers. Now, they did not fold them up and put them up. That's agape love. They didn't go that far, okay? But they did wash them and bring them back. Why? Because they knew there's nothing else they could do for me at that time. That was something they knew they could do that would make a difference. Each congregation goes through death and having people pass away. This is my grandfather. He passed away in 2006. He was an elder in the church at Scotts Hill, Tennessee, at the Red Walnut Church of Christ. He passed away right after Thanksgiving, and we went down, I believe it was December the 7th, to do the funeral, and it was the coldest day of the year. The 5 grandsons, we all did the funeral. We divided it out and led the singing and spoke. And as I sat there, before the service started, a church bus pulled in from Calvert City, Kentucky. They drove over 3 hours, a bus full of people who loved me, and drove down there to show me they cared about me. Most of them had never heard of Scottsdale, Tennessee. Some of them hadn't been out of the county in a while, older folks that didn't travel much, but they wanted to make sure that I knew that I was cared for. Can I tell you, it makes a difference? And when you choose to serve, you make a huge difference in the lives of other people. I could go through on and on. I could talk about Ralph Gilmore being there for me. I had a horrible summer internship one summer, and I came back to college and decided I had rather test bulletproof vest than work for a church. I thought it would be more enjoyable and safer. And he told me that was a waste of my God-given gifts. And he showed me care and concern and gave me counsel. Many of you may know Keith Parker. Keith has showed me kindness. I was blessed to work with him for a summer, and he's had impact on me. I think of this family, Barry and Jill Travis. They live in Calvert City, Kentucky. They adopted me when I moved to Kentucky. I did my laundry at their house. I ate with them 3 or 4 nights. They just said, "We're going to set a table for you, plates on table for you every night. If you're able to come, be here." Barry will teach a Bible class, but he gets real nervous about it. Can I tell you what Barry does for anybody? If you go in the hospital, when you get home, your yard will be mowed. And if you ever tell anybody that he's the one who did it, he'll come skin you. I knew it because I busted him doing it somewhere. See, some of us think that our gifts aren't good enough. Can I tell you, whatever gift you have, put in the hands of God is more than enough. Because He can do more with it than we can. Let me just think. Is church more like a restaurant to you? Is it a place where you go to be served? Or is it a place now where you go to get involved and serve? My prayer is that each one of us tonight will find the thing we can do to better the church. And we will give our lives to it. And we will think of all the places we can serve. Let's go to God in prayer as we finish up. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight so very thankful for Your church, and which is Your family here on earth. Lord, help us to be people who love and care for one another, who serve one another, who find ways to encourage one another to love and good works and to make a difference in the world around us. Lord, whatever we're going through, please help us to see the joy that comes from making a difference in the life of others and the glory that goes all to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We have a few minutes before the kids come back in, and don't forget to stick around after we're done singing. We'll have some popcorn and other refreshments in the fellowship hall.